evening and just give you thanks and praise and all glory to your holy name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Oh, there's more folks. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to have an abbreviated Bible study because I'm going to leave from here and dash to a tent meeting across the river for a revival meeting. So praise the Lord. It's by the Dollar General. And if you all want to come, you're invited. And we can go shake up things across the river, see what the Holy Spirit wants to do tonight. Our assignment. What's our assignment? Our assignment is very simple. It's to re-present Jesus to the world. We're always in a position where we are to re-present Jesus to the world. In 1 John 3, verse 8, he gives us the mission, our mission statement. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. So going across and preaching in a tent across the river is about destroying the works of the devil. It first happens with sozo, as the Greek word is, for salvation. And for those that don't know Jesus, that's what we're going to do. We're going to preach Jesus tonight. There's only one way. But God's mission statement, the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. And that's our mission. You know, as I've so often said, is that, you know, if you're in a wondering about certain bios things, biography, that's where the word biography comes from the Greek word bios, which means life. But there's two types of life. There's Zoe life, life as God has it, and bios, which we get our English word biography from. So there's lots of bios that comes up in our life where we say, okay, well, should I get married? Should I go to university? Should I become a lawyer? And the answer to all that is yes. Whatever you want. Because the answer is get married, go to university, become a lawyer, but here's your mission statement after you've done all that. And while you're in university and while you're being married, while you're married, the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Really simple. And so for many, what rises up in one's heart is they're uncomfortable with this assignment. Well, I don't know if I really want to do that. It's like, man, that means I got to put myself out. That means, there's that good colloquial saying, did you get that? Out. I have to put myself out. I'm just going to like go to areas that, you know, I really, you know, where's this mission statement of the Lord in destroying the works of the devil? Where's it going to take me? Where's it going to take me in representing Jesus to the city of Selma? Where's it going to, this representing Jesus and destroying the works of the devil, where am I going to find myself? And I'm just not comfortable with this assignment. I'm uncomfortable with it. And what God says, well, that's really high on my priority list. That was a joke. In other words, it's not high on God. You can say amen. Brother, you can give some hallelujahs there. We'll wake this place up in Jesus' name. You can only know the Comforter by Him confronting your comfort zones. You can only know the Comforter by Him confronting your comfort zones. Insecurity is wrong security exposed. Insecurity is wrong security exposed. The Holy Spirit, when it starts revealing the wrong places we stand and where we draw comfort from, and here's some that perhaps we draw comfort from. Here's one for anybody in a ministerial position or as the royal priesthood of believers. And you've seen this all the time. Here's one that the Holy Spirit will guarantee confront you and make you uncomfortable. being in charge. Have you ever noticed anybody who draws their identity from being in charge? That's a guaranteed wrong security that the Holy Spirit will end up exposing. And we'll only know the Comforter by Him confronting those comfort zones. Here's another one. That if we take a position that we need to understand everything that's going on in our life and everything that's happening around us. Anybody ever taken that position? So that we're walking through life, and how many times have you heard yourself saying, well, I just don't understand this. God, what are you doing? Well, what we have is a comfort zone, a place of insecurity that's being exposed. A place of security, pardon me, that's being exposed. So when we take the position that we need to and think we need to understand everything that is going on in our life and around us, it is the Holy Spirit confronting a comfort zone. You see, the problem, if I understand everything in my Christian walk, if we understand everything in our Christian journey, then we will have an inferior Christian walk. If we understand everything in our Christian journey, then we'll have an inferior Christian experience. The kingdom realm of mystery is just as important as the kingdom realm of revelation. The kingdom realm of mystery is just as important as the kingdom realm of revelation. Living with mystery is part of our faith. Mystery is integral to, it's central to our faith. God loves to give us revelation. He loves to give us understanding with when we have revelation. Understanding will always usually come. He loves to give us revelation. He loves to give us understanding. But we will always have increased mystery with revelation and understanding. Mystery is essential to our Christian walk. Because positionally, if we always want to run to, I need to understand everything, we're going to miss an important part. Mystery. If we understand everything that is going on around us, then our faith will be called the understanding. If we're walking in mystery, that's why our faith is called the faith. Everybody with me so far? So the Holy Spirit will allow circumstances to come into our life which will bring mystery. Oh God, we end up in that zone, the oh God zone. What are you doing? Oh God, not now. Oh God. But our faith would not be called the faith, without mystery. It's always great to have understanding. It's always great to have revelation, but we're guaranteed with that will come increased levels of mystery. And so the Holy Spirit allows these circumstances, mystery, that seem to stretch and contradict our understanding that we've gained through revelation. So when we're going through something and the revelation comes, we finally see the picture. Understanding comes, it becomes applied to our hearts, which was then wisdom walked out. What we're guaranteed, the Holy Spirit will do. He won't leave us there. He's going to bring more mystery in to begin us the stretching and the confronting zone all over again. Because we'll never know the Comforter unless we go through this continuous cycle. So on one hand, we have mystery. On the other hand, we have revelation. And what does that put us on? When's the last time you saw this? It puts us on the cross. It puts us with the Comforter. It puts us with the Lord Jesus. So, the Holy Spirit, on one hand, we'll have mystery, on the other, revelation, which puts us on the cross. In our assignment to represent Him, we must embrace this cross. Mystery and revelation. It's essential to our walk. And it will bring the pain of contradictory experience, because it's going to bring confrontation to those areas where we're drawing security from. A Holy Spirit confronted comfort zone shift. When we find ourselves on the cross of mystery and revelation. Does anybody like to be there? We all end up there. And so heaven is overflowing with absolute confidence and trust in God. Our world around us is filled with what? Mistrust and unbelief. But heaven is overflowing with absolute confidence and trust in God. We're surrounded every day by mistrust and unbelief. You and I will always represent to the world what we are most aware of. So what are you aware of? Trust and unbelief? Or are you aware of absolute, total abandonment, trust in Jesus? Because if you're aware of that, that's what you're going to represent to the world. And you will live happily and joyfully spread out in the cross of mystery and revelation. The process of charismatic life stretch in mystery and revelation, which eventually leads to understanding, reduces us to strength. It reduces us to strength by testing. Gideon's army is a good example. They were reduced to a point of strength by testing. Okay, Lord, I've got the army. It's too many. Go get them to drink out of a brook. Now there's mystery. Oh God, what are you doing with my army? You're sending us out amongst this vast army. Too many. Can you hear Gideon? Oh God! See, he had security in a number. But God had a plan. So go cause them to drink. The ones who bow their heads down to the water and drink, get rid of them. Those who bring the water to the mouth, keep them. So he's got 300 left. So he was reduced. Finally, mystery, revelation. What was revealed was what? He had 300 men. So the mystery read to revelation, but in the victory they had understanding. Amen. They knew what God was doing. Did he leave them there? No. They went on to the next battle. And so Gideon's army was reduced in this process of strength reducing by testing. But came the victory. Now, this principle runs through Scripture. And it starts with King Jesus. And it's our continual process as we walk through our life. You can look in any situation that you come into that ends up mystery is being raised up. Revelation will come, understanding will come, and it will lead you right into more mystery. It's a continual cycle. And we'll look at an example here quickly. It starts with the Lord Jesus as a Spirit-filled Son of God. And so, if you turn to Luke chapter 3, verse 21. It says, "Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. While he was praying, heaven was opened." You see, from this very moment, all these people of Judah that were there being baptized, they had been living with a mystery for hundreds of years, written by the prophet Isaiah. Said, "Oh Lord, that you would rend the heavens and come down." They had been living with that mystery, wondering when that was going to happen. And so here with Jesus, as he's baptized, while he was praying, heaven was opened. So what God now is bringing to the forefront of all of Judah, with Jesus in the midst of his baptism, was revelation into this mystery, this prayer that had been spoken for hundreds of years and read in the temple. It says, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son." Oh, revelation. So down through an open heaven came the beloved Son. And so mystery became revelation, revelation became understanding. But in that understanding, for all those who were around there, came a word that also became revelatory. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So a word of God became revelation to all those and understanding. But did God leave the situation alone? Did Jesus then just go to Burger King to have a burger? No. He didn't leave him there. So the word of God comes. "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." A revelatory word which will bring, when we receive revelation, it will bring conflict. Whenever we receive a word of revelation, it will always bring conflict. It attracts conflict. Because when revelation comes, there is one who wants to come and steal and to stop us moving from, or keep us actually in a comfort zone and not having the Comforter confront us. And so the Word of God will always attract conflict, opposition. But it will always, this conflict will always provide the testing that's necessary to bring in the understanding the strength that we need. Are you with me? Is this making sense? I said the word, the revelatory word, "You are my beloved Son," the understanding will attract conflict and opposition. But in the testing that comes in conflict through opposition, brings strength, i.e. Gideon's army. Okay? Now, Jesus receives this word, "You are my beloved Son in whom I'm now pleased." Then what does the Holy Spirit do? He takes him straight into the desert. Dun, 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 dun. More mystery. Jesus only did those things he heard the Father saying and doing. So the Father said, "Go to the desert." Jesus obeyed. He didn't go, "Oh God, why am I not going to Burger King to have a nice meal with all my friends who all got baptized today?" No. He went in obedience because now God, this cyclical process was beginning to happen. Mystery. And so, as I said, the Word of God, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," this revelation that brought understanding to all those. Jesus was led, chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Mystery. Mystery has then now just come around again. And for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he became hungry. For 40 days, the revelation was made. The conflict came in the person of the Diabolos. who for 40 days chirped in his ear, "If you are the Son of God." So the opposition came. The Father had just given a revelatory word and gave understanding to all those. The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. Mystery was raised up. And the opposition came. The testing came. "If you are the Son of God." And for 40 days, that's the temptation that Jesus heard. The devil attacked him through three various instances, but all the time, for 40 days. "If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God." So the word of revelation was attacked, but brought understanding to all those around. He's in now in a mysterious place, and the opposition comes. The diabolos, the slander. "If you are the Son of God," and then three direct hits. But the point is, you need to understand the wilderness. And wilderness will always be a sign of mystery. When we reach those times where we don't understand really what is going on. But the Holy Spirit creates an experience, and I step in mystery. I'm in the doorway, walking through from one room into a larger room. And when we go through that process of walking through the door in mystery, in obedience, we will always receive greater revelation and understanding, which will lead us into another room. Another room. It's a cyclical process that keeps happening over and over and over again. And Jesus ended up understanding, the fully charismatic Jesus was there in the wilderness to let the devil know he was there to destroy his position. And he was there also to let him know, what you see in me as a spirit-filled man, I've got a whole nation of inheritors just like me that are going to do just like what I am doing. Diabolos, there's your revelation. And so as he walked in this faithfully, it led through to his inaugural address. And as the story picks up, and he says, "And the book of Isaiah was handed to him. He opened the book and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of God is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord.'" And he closed the book, gave it to the attendant, and sat down. For 400 years, they had been reading that scroll how many thousands of times? And so now Jesus, in the temple, reads this. What rises up within people's hearts that are hearing this? Mystery. Who is this that is reading this? As you go on in the story, it says, he gave the book back to the attendant and sat down. He didn't say any more. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. See, as he sat there, as he read from this scroll and sat down, all the eyes of the synagogue were on him. The whole church was looking. Mystery being raised up once again in the church. So what did he say? He then speaks one more time and gives them revelation. "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Dun, 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 dun. Revelation. Revelation. And it says, "All were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips." So all the time that this scripture had been read in the church, at no other time had it come from such an anointed person and such an anointed way. because the one who gave the prophecy to Isaiah was now in the flesh reading it. And that's why they were saying all were speaking well of him. So the mystery had come, revelation. Today in your hearing, this scripture is fulfilled in me. Because what he did was when he went and sat down, he sat in a seat that had never been sat in for 400 years. It was called the mercy seat. Only Jesus, the spotless lamb, the King of mercy, could qualify to then go sit down. Because where he sat down, why all the eyes were fixed on him, was because he went and sat in the mercy seat. Our King, our merciful ruler, sat in the mercy seat. And so with him reading that scripture, the anointing is released. This is God in the flesh reading his very words. Can you imagine the presence in the room? What they had been crying out for 400 years, what their DNA wanted, was screaming for. Messiah has just read his inaugural address. He's just identified by sitting in the mercy seat. Who is coming to the church? But what happens? And they were all wondering at his gracious words, the presence, the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine if Jesus walked into this church on Sunday morning, picked up the scroll of Isaiah and read it? Do you think there'd be an anointing in the room? And they were all marveling. And all speaking well of him. Can you imagine the murmuring is going on? Who is this? And they were wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. And they were saying,
so close and so far away. Is this not Joseph's son?
Diablos. Slanderer, in the mystery and the revelation and the understanding, he came and stole their understanding. There they are, a pinnacle turning point for the nation of Israel, what their DNA was made for, screamed out for, and the diablos of the familiar came in and stole. And if you read, we go down through here, Nazareth became known as the town of unbelief. Diablos, who for 40 days tried to steal the word of revelation from the Father, if you are the Son of God. Now Israel at the pivotal, crucial time in church history. Gracious words. They're all speaking well of him. The anointing that was released in the room. The mystery made real. The revelation. He sat in the mercy seat. And their conclusion. Diabolos came in. Is this not Joseph's son? Don't you want to weep for him? Is this not Joseph's son? And then Jesus begins to prophesy. He said, no doubt you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever you heard was done in Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well. And he says, truly I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. See, he begins to prophesy. He's now telling them what's in their heart. He's telling them the problem. And then he goes on to tell a story about Elijah. The sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months. A great famine came over the land. Elijah was sent. Now he's telling them something. He knows the diablos of the familiars come in. He talks about Elijah, and he says, Elijah, when there was a famine in the land, where was he sent? He was sent to Syria. He wasn't sent to a widow in Israel. He was sent to a widow in Zarephath, in the land of Sidon, to the woman who was a widow. It says that there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. And so he's giving a prophetic word. He's saying, you know what? Because you do not want me to confront your religious structures, you don't want to believe in me. I'm only Joseph's son. Then he's speaking prophetically and saying that the cross of mystery and revelation that will always bring understanding, the cycle is being broken today by your choice in believing the diabolos, the slander, who stole the word. And so as you read down, and all the people in the synagogue were what? Did they finally understand what they had said and how it translated out? It says, and all the people, verse 28, and all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. Because they understood then that what they had said previously was in their hearts, and the anointing would be passed on to the Gentiles, which we know is what happened. The cross of mystery and revelation. And the cycle ended for Israel there. See, because it went to another. Now, the good news is that that says that Jesus loves all people. And if you're here at noon today, I've got the Lord gave me a revelation on that. Proverbs 8 and verse 32, I think it is. Of all describing creation, what God delights in is the sons of men. Us. He delights in us. And so the good news out of this, you want to cry for Israel. They missed their point of being charismatic. They missed their appointment with restoration. They missed their appointment with revival because they allowed the diabolos of the familiar to come and steal. So the word for us, Church of God, is do not let the familiar stop the Lord Jesus from confronting you. And to be totally charismatic means to always hang on the cross of mystery and revelation. And in trusting God in that position, we will represent Him who has given us the mission to go and destroy the works of the devil. Because on the cross of mystery and revelation, we will confront the world and we will destroy the works of the devil. Because the understanding will always come. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.